and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, to get you through this crisis in a world where few things are reliable. We are reliable. It's Jason Rancher. We're live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. Store owners are speaking loudly and clearly. Enough is enough when it comes to CHOP. Cell phone video leads to 23 arrests from looting the Bellevue Square Mall on May 31st. And guess what? More arrests are to come. And then, of course, Brian Kilmeade, our friend from Fox and Friends, he's going to be stopping by to talk about the nonsense of the statues being torn down all across the country. This hour of the Jason Rancher Show is brought to you by the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. In fact, when you text the keyword app, APP, to 1-800-465-8770, I'm going to send you a link so you can actually download it on your iPhone or your Android. Text app to 1-800-465-8770. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home, so let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So when I was on Fox News, or in the National Review, or in Newsweek, and when other folks on Fox News and in the National Review and in Newsweek, when they were saying that businesses, when we were saying that businesses in Seattle are not comfortable near the CHOP, we were called liars. We were called propagandists. We were, ironically, coming from the left, called fake news, a term that I thought they hated. We were called out for our coverage. But now, right now, more and more businesses are coming forward and saying exactly what I've been reporting since the start, what we have been reporting since the start. That they are uncomfortable and they're scared to go on the record. They're scared to go on the record because they don't want to face retribution. In fact, there's a line in this Q13 piece that we're going to use that says several business owners told Q13 News that they did not want their name, face, or business on camera in fear of retaliation. Do you think that CNN or NBC News or the cheerleaders of CHOP at the Seattle Times, do you think they're going to apologize for the record that they put out? Do you think they're going to correct the record that they put out? Do you think they're going to step up and say, you know what? My bad. You think the CNN reporter is going to come up and say, you know what? Full disclosure, I don't come to Seattle very often. And when I do, I spend 10 minutes here. And you know what? I was under the mistaken impression that this was a summer of love because, you know what? That's what the mayor said. And I had no reason to disbelieve the mayor. Do you think they're going to do that? No. Do you think CNN is going to cover this at all anymore? Now, when it was a street fair, when it was a summer of love, there was a CNN reporter on the streets reporting from the block party. I haven't even seen anything coming from them. In fact, Peyton, look this up right now. See if you can find any CNN coverage of just the, not on TV, on their website, on just the shootings that took place. Because I do know that NBC News, they covered the shooting that took place, but the way that they framed it was unclear whether or not the shooting had anything to do with the protests. Because I guess, even though the shootings took place within CHOP, doesn't qualify. Now, I have to assume CNN had to do something. I have to assume CNN gave some coverage to it, but I wonder how they framed it.
2 days ago, 17-year-old shot in Seattle protest zone. Seattle protest zone shooting leaves one dead. 3 days ago.
Okay. Any apology? Did they say summer of love? They say maybe it wasn't such a lovely summer for those at CHOP. Try to do a play on words of some kind?
No.
Okay. I mean, at least they covered it. I didn't see any reporters there. I haven't seen any live hits. Why do you think that is? There's a business owner that spoke to Q13. And he has to keep his name and store private. Why do you think that is? What kind of retribution from the peaceful protesters could there possibly be?
It just feels like we're helpless. Nobody's listening to our needs. They don't care or they don't really see us. Maybe we're just collateral damage to all this, you know. But we're still here. We pay our taxes. We are law-abiding people, and I feel like they need to do more things for us.
You know, that is kind of, he kind of chuckled there at the end, and I don't know if he came to the realization that I came to a long time ago, and we've talked about on the show in the past, that you think because you pay taxes and play by the rules in this city that you're owed anything is the real joke. It's an unfortunate reality that those of us who play by the rules, who pay our taxes, we are not given any kind of even fair treatment. I was going to say special. We're not even given fair treatment, reasonable treatment in the city of Seattle. We're the suckers who pay our taxes and play by the rules. It's kind of how it feels sometimes. And I'm still going to play by the rules. I'm still going to pay my taxes. I'm still going to do everything that I know to be morally just and right. But we get taken advantage of because we play by the rules. And the folks who don't, the ones who turn a peaceful protest into lawlessness, the ones who take over a six-block radius in the heart of Capitol Hill, the ones who shoot up in parks, they're given the special treatment. Isn't that a little bit twisted? Is that how it's supposed to be? Why is it that way? Why is it that way? Because this is a business owner who's playing by the rules. This is a guy who's just trying to do right by his company and his family. This is a guy who's trying to keep his employees employed. But what's been going on at CHOP has become untenable.
But I've had vendors who refuse to come up here too. They're just worried about leaving their truck anywhere far. Customers don't come by anymore.
So not only do customers not come by, which means they're not getting the business, not only are they not getting the product delivered to them to sell to the people who do end up showing up, but you also have to understand that that vendor doesn't sell them the products, which means it also hurts the vendor. It's a vicious cycle. And for what, 13, 14 days, generally speaking, the media had not been covering this aspect to the story. Not all of them. I don't want to say all media members. I don't believe that. There have definitely been some great examples of local journalists covering this. But overall, did you get the impression that the focus was on so much of the negative, or was the focus on so much of what they wanted to be positive? The Seattle Times wanted this to work. Activists wanted this to work. And because they wanted it to work, they pretended that it was working. They pretended that this was completely peaceful. When folks like me and Todd Herman, we were out there saying, whoa, 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 that's not what's going on here. We were shunned. We were bullied. We were tried to be silenced. But now, thankfully, so many media outlets here at least, not national yet, but here at least, are turning their attention to the people who are the victims in all of this.
It just feels like we're helpless. Nobody's listening to our needs. They don't care, or they don't really see us. Maybe we're just collateral damage to all this, you know. But we're still here. We pay our taxes. We are law-abiding people. And I feel like they need to do more things for us.
They need to do more things for us. He's not asking for special treatment. That's a sad part of this. He's not asking for special treatment. He's not asking for a handout. He's asking for what's fair and just. He's asking for what's right. He's asking for the city to at least hear his concerns. And now you're starting to hear from council members who all of a sudden, because they realize they cannot pretend any longer that CHOP is unsafe, now you're getting some support from folks like Lorena Gonzalez, Seattle City Council member. Where was she just a few days ago? Seriously, where was she a few days ago to speak up for these businesses? She represents all of Seattle. She's one of the at-large council members. I don't expect Shama Sawant. I don't expect her to speak for businesses. That's not what she does. That's not on brand. And I have to assume that the business owners in Capitol Hill don't expect that of her either. But I do expect it of everybody else. I do expect it of the council member that has a business that's a vendor, maybe in a different district, who does business with Capitol Hill, to speak up. I expect that council members from all across Seattle will at least stand up for the cops, but they did quite the opposite, didn't they? Lisa Herbold said she rejects the idea that police officers were kept from CHOP. That is, of course, odious for her to say. It is. We saw the video. We saw the video. We saw the police officers trying to get into that zone, being told no. And we understand that the cops don't have the support of the city, and they know that. And they're not going to go into a zone when the mayor tells them not to. They're not going to put their lives on the line for a city that for the last several weeks have treated them as the enemy. And this council wants you to believe the nonsense narrative that they've put out. This council and the activists here want you to believe this was nothing but a summer of love. Summer of love that left one person dead, three people shot. Summer of love. CNN calls it a festival. Street fair. Look, there's a food truck over there. That reporter who never left his nice hotel room after dark didn't have a clue what was going on here. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington State, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N. Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
So history is being destroyed each and every day. Activists decide to take down a statue rather than having what? Oh, I don't know, a meaningful discussion about the statues. Talking through the context, maybe agreeing to put some of the controversial ones in museums. There is no room for talk for a lot of people, just destruction for a lot of these activists. Joining me on the line to discuss is someone who knows a thing or two about the importance of history. Brian Kilmeade is the co-host of Fox and Friends. His latest book is out on paperback. It's called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, the Texas Victory that Changed American History. Brian Kilmeade, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So this is happening a bit more on your coast than ours, but obviously we are not immune to it. What do you make of this kind of activism?
You know, if people say, well, you know, that you might want to do for the country that might seem obstructive, but hey, I want to make the country better. Nobody who's taking down Andrew Jackson's statue, Abraham Lincoln's statue, is trying to make the country better. Nobody who's spray painting the hands of Christopher Columbus or George Washington is trying to make the country better. If you want to do that, to me, put up another Frederick Douglass statue. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about other great explorers, and or petition to get a plaque next to Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, founder of the University of Virginia, third president of the United States, first vice president, whatever it is, and then put their owner of X amount of slaves, if you want to balance it out. But people are, this is the most arrogant generation ever of Americans, where we think we know everything. And how dare we look back and look and not be embarrassed by the people that came before us. Instead of embracing what they did and allowing this country to flourish, we want to diminish what they did and destroy it. It's really disturbing that nobody's speaking out about it. A handful of lawmakers, Marco Rubio with great speech, Tom Cotton relentless, the President of the United States combative. But where's everybody else?
What's interesting in all of this is they don't even have, a lot of these folks don't even understand the context of the statues that they deem to be problematic. So last night in Madison, they tried to destroy the Hans Christian Hegg statue, which he was an abolitionist. He wasn't pro-slavery. I don't quite understand what is motivating some of the folks who are just looking at a statue and automatically deeming it offensive.
Listen, I don't. Where are we even doing this? I mean, of course, you're taking down an abolitionist. You know more than Abraham Lincoln. I never thought that you could actually dispute the greatness of Abraham Lincoln. Nobody says he's perfect, but well, I don't like the way African Americans are depicted in the statue. So I'm actually doing a book now on Frederick Douglass's relationship with Abraham Lincoln. And during that dedication in 1874, I went back, was able to look at exactly what Frederick Douglass thought. Exactly what went into the design of this. It was financed by freed slaves. It was approved by them. They had four designs to go with. And if you look at closely, the man is a real depiction of an actual American who was freed. He's standing up on his own and breaking free of chains. That was intentional. But in 2020, some lawmaker and a bunch of shirtless skateboarders feel as though they know more. And I've never seen such arrogance.
Is it just arrogance, or do you think there is something more sinister going on as far as it relates to going after the founding of this country? We've certainly heard from activists who say this country was born out of pure racism, and it's obviously true that there was racism in our history, and slavery is a stain on our history. But it seems like this is just about going after the founding of this country.
Where do we get it from? The British. Where was it all over Europe? Who had them first? I mean, for civilizations, the Romans never broke free of slavery. I mean, the Bible writes about it and accepts it. We didn't. We fought a war to end it, and we're trying to balance things out. For a couple of days after the horrific killing of George Floyd, I want to have those conversations about how to make race relations better. I enjoy it because you get smart people together and you talk about things we might not realize, and let's make it better. But that quickly went out the window when you started wrecking cities, and you obviously are people not even affected by racism. You're not there for any reason except to create havoc because you're not fitting in to society. You don't have a job. And the pandemic didn't help. A lot of people have been told you're not going to school. We can't have you. A lot of people have been told you can no longer have a job. A lot of people were promised a job, and the company evaporated. So the frustration built on anti-Americanism. Game on, and it's been so ugly. None worse in Seattle. What you guys have had to witness and take in, I feel terrible. But I cannot believe how you're subjected to this terrible mayor, who by the way, the activists hate, and some lawmakers happy. Another police force giving up a precinct, and this embarrassment, global embarrassment that Seattle has right now, has got to end.
I agree. Unfortunately, there's still no plan to actually end it. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Brian Kilmeade. He is the author of a brand new paperback edition of Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, The Texas Victory That Changed American History. Highly recommend you check out this book. And I always like to remind people, go to Amazon, because it ticks off our socialist Seattle City Councilwoman, Shama Sawant, and frankly, the entire city council when you buy stuff from Amazon. Check it out, Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. On the greater topic of some of this chaos that we've seen, the rioting, the destruction, where's the leadership on this from the right? I've certainly seen President Trump has been speaking out about it, and you make a point of Tom Cotton and Marco Rubio, and there's some smaller examples, but there doesn't seem to be a huge push from the from the right on this.
Absolutely. Even commentators and columnists, you know, Victor David Hansen, when asked, he has great answers, very deep guys, like the closest thing to Charles Krauthammer I've seen from the Hoover Institute. You have columnists, even Pat Buchanan has said some things, but you don't see the outrage. I think what I just heard from the opening of this hour from you, and what I've been saying every single day, said on Tucker last night on our show this morning on the radio show. I cannot tell you. I was lucky enough to be in the White House Monday, and I asked the president about Andrew Jackson, because right now the Hermitage is most worried about the battle at the New Orleans statue. They have full-time guards around it. The guy won the Battle of New Orleans and allowed the British, to gave the British the worst defeat, one of the worst defeats in history. He put together an army in 3 weeks and defeated the army that beat Napoleon in 45 minutes and stopped the British from taking and holding New Orleans. We can get into that another time. But his greatness was never questioned. You might not agree with some of the things he did as president. And, of course, no one can agree with slavery. But on balance, he dominated the era of the country. He proved that anybody can be president. He was an orphan at 14. And he ended up being with the most powerful office in the land. That's the American dream. So they're worried about Jacksonville. They're worried about New Orleans. I asked the president, and he said, you know, hopefully the worst of this is over. 1 hour later, these guys came out of the woodwork with chains and ropes and were taking down a statue that Ronald Reagan insisted on taking a picture of before he entered the Oval Office in his first term.
It's so disturbing. And I suppose my final question for you is, and I don't know if this is a moral position, and I don't know if this is what's going on, but it does seem to me like not getting involved is inherently political, that there is this belief amongst Republicans by having these kinds of images lead the newscasts and be discussed on social media will just push people who are independents or moderate towards the right, away from some of the fringe elements on the left. Do you think that that's what's going on?
I would if I heard more whispers, if I got more text messages saying it's terrible, if I got any indication that there was that much thought into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fear. I think it's a fear to take a stand and say, wow, you're going to stand up for Andrew Jackson. You like slaves. Of course we don't like slaves. Do you know anybody who can back that up? Slavery? My goodness. But is Thomas Jefferson brilliant? Would we be the same country without him? No. Would we have won the war without Washington? No. We wouldn't have a country without George Washington. You can judge his life. Do it. Get your PhD in George Washington and make it negative if you want. But his impact and his substance is indispensable to the creation of our nation. You can't have it both ways.
If you hear the passion when it comes to history in Brian Kilmeade's voice, you will absolutely adore Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. It's out right now. It is an entertaining and incredibly informative read. Again, it's called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, The Texas Victory That Changed American History. Brian, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Settle things down in Seattle, guys. Thanks, Jason.
We'll try. Again, Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers by Brian Kilmeade. Definitely check it out. It's fantastic. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local. A lot of arrests made associated with some of the chaos out in Bellevue. What happened, we'll tell you when we return on The Jason Rancho.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon, and that means it's time for the Big Local. Here's how this works. The media here, for the most part, they tend to focus the vast majority of their attention on the city of Seattle. And they don't really talk to the folks like you who don't live in Seattle. So at 4:30 weekday afternoons, we completely ignore the city of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on where you live. And we start in Bellevue, where the police department ended up just arresting 23 people, all stemming from the looting that took place on May 31st, so about three-ish weeks ago, at the Bellevue Square Mall. There was the peaceful group of protesters, and then there were the mostly younger people who decided to break into the mall, steal a whole bunch of products, break into the Bravern, stealing a whole bunch of products. And it turns out a whole bunch of folks were taking video that was turned over to the Bellevue PD. And as a result of that, they were able to spot some of the people and identify some of the bad guys, the thieves, and make some significant arrests, including a 26-year-old Renton man who's accused of coordinating several burglaries of the mall and the retail stores across the street. Bellevue Chief's Steve Milette spoke with Cairo 7 TV to explain all of what they found at that dude's house.
An AK-47 with a silencer, which was located in a baby's crib. Methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, drug scales, baggies, and paraphernalia, which is consistent with the sale and distribution of narcotics.
Who among us hasn't hidden an AK-47 with a silencer in a baby's crib? Why would we be outraged by that?
I thought that's the new gun safe.
Is that not where you're... This is so ridiculous to me. And you see something like this and you say, look, that's a bad dude. That's a dangerous person who very clearly is taking advantage of some of the legitimate pain and anxiety that folks are feeling.
I can't emphasize enough how repulsive it is that people would take and exploit the homicide of George Floyd to further their criminal intentions. It's wrong.
It's wrong. But I will say the part of this story that makes me smile just a little bit, because in stories like this, in chaos like this, in destruction like this, it's a lot of negativity. And yesterday we talked about it. It's just a lot of negative stuff going down. I found just one little bit of positivity in this story. And really, it's not positivity. It's irony. It makes me smile. Milette said in this interview with Cairo 7, so many of the looters on that day were going into the Bellevue Square Mall or the Bravern. All those people, as they were coming out, carrying a whole bunch of goods, T-shirts, electronics, sunglasses, whatever it is they were stealing. He said they were laughing at the cops, knowing that the cops there would not be able to arrest them, that they were going to be overwhelmed by the sheer number of these kids who were there stealing. Well, guess what? Not only are some of those kids who were smiling and laughing and thought it was funny, not only are they under arrest, there are way more to come.
We're convinced that the same group that did it here did it elsewhere. We're just getting started. This is going to be a long process.
He says 100 people have been identified, and they're going to be arrested soon. So that's the one bit of just, that makes me smile.
What?
The bad guys who thought that they can get away with this, laughing at the cops on the way back to wherever it is they came from. Because these are mostly folks, I believe, outside of Bellevue, or at least that's what the majority of them seem. They thought they got away with it. And there's some people right now, who have no clue that they've already been identified. They just haven't been arrested yet.
So it makes you happy that instant karma was going to get them?
It's not instant. I'm going to
knock them
three-ish weeks.
Right in the head?
No karma from three-ish weeks karma.
Yeah, that's
which
close.
Is the best kind of karma.
Close enough to instant.
A nursery in Snohomish has decided to ban their workers from wearing masks, which seems like a problematic statement to put out there when you are going to talk about it publicly. It just seems like you're begging to become a martyr. You're begging to become a victim to the cause. Cairo 7 says that for more than a week, employees at Flower World have not been wearing masks while they're on the job because their boss, his name is John Postema. He's essentially said, yeah, you can't do it.
No, we don't. We would say, hey, think about it. We'll support your unemployment.
Okay.
You probably could make more than you're making here.
Uh-huh.
And so, therefore, let's not make a big deal about it.
Should you be admitting that on camera? Because you're not supposed to do that.
No, you shouldn't be saying that out loud on the record.
Now, I understand why someone might do that because he's asking to get sued so you can push this in front of a judge and have a victory to stop the mandatory rule of wearing a mask. I get that. He doesn't sound like that kind of person. He sounds like a guy who's just all like, yeah, no, I think it's ridiculous.
So it makes it less oxygen when they do physical work. So all of that doesn't make it very good.
I love, and again, let's not yell at me. I'm not a supporter of masks the way that you think. I just simply love the folks who all of a sudden, when it comes to masks, they did a couple Google searches, they went to WebMD, and now they're an expert on the effect that masks have on people breathing. There are so many people out there who go, oh, did you not see this one study? And they show me a meme. Shows if you wear this prolonged, you will die. This, number one, that's not what the study actually says, and you should look at the study and not a meme. But in a case like this, number one, you're planting stuff at a nursery, so
you're in a greenhouse, man. It's hot.
Okay. You can take off the mask momentarily. You don't have to wear the mask when you're clearly socially distanced and you're outdoors. And I believe that if you're in a, let's say you're in this nursery, you know what would happen the second that you pulled the mask down just for the moment where you're doing some more of the manual labor and it's a little bit more difficult for you to put? You know what's going to happen when you pull that mask down?
Contamination.
No,
I don't know.
No.
What?
Nothing!
Nothing?
Nothing will happen to you. You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to get hit with a lawsuit. You're taking it off momentarily. So when you're not doing that kind of work, put the mask on. Put the mask on. Unless you're begging to get involved in a lawsuit with the state, and they'll come after you. And again, maybe that's your goal. And if that's your goal, okay, fine. Go ahead and challenge it in court. But Tim Church with the Labor and Industry Department for Washington tells Cairo 7 TV that it's not a good management style.
That's just not how it works. Your workplace can't decide that you're not going to wear a seatbelt and not have a driver's license because you guys just decided that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, and look, as much as I don't want to agree with L&I, especially the way they've been weaponized by Jay Inslee, he's right. There is an avenue to challenge this in court. And if that's your end goal, just challenge it in court. Just challenge it in court. And if it's not, you're just trying to skirt the rules, pro tip, don't talk about it to the TV stations.
You mean that's a bad idea?
If your goal is to simply get away with it, essentially, get away with not following the rule, Why would you bring attention to it? That just doesn't make sense to me.
This is literally the villain in a superhero movie where he tells his entire plan to the superhero, and then he's mad when it gets stopped before it executes.
I want to talk to him on the show tomorrow. I'm just so curious now what the strategy is in talking about this publicly.
You just want to know what more he's going to tell you.
Yes, I'm going to ask for his credit card information, his social security number. I'm just going to assume he gives me everything. Then finally, the Edmond School District has decided to ridiculously cut ties with three local law enforcement agencies.
There will be emergency plans in place at every high school, but no longer will the school resource officer be at the lead of that. So it'll fall on administrators and staff.
Okay, so now you're going to put that duty of protecting your kids on the staff members and your teachers. That's Harmony Weinberg with the Edmond School District talking with our sister station, Cairo Radio. Here's the explanation she gives as to why they're essentially kicking police out of their schools.
Some of our students of color said they especially feel targeted having police presence on campus, and overall their general feeling towards law enforcement is uncomfortable.
Their general feeling is discomfort. They feel like they are being targeted by the mere presence of police officers. Not actually being targeted, keep in mind. Not actually being the target of unfair scrutiny that makes them uncomfortable, these students. The mere presence of an officer there makes them feel like they're being targeted. And instead of addressing the feelings and creating better relationships by having positive interactions between school resource officers and the school public, instead of doing that, instead of putting some energy and effort into that, the school board takes a cowardly position and just decides to run away. Run away from the problem, perceived or real, because feelings. Because maybe it looks good. Maybe it wins you some virtue signaling points. A move that unfortunately puts everyone at risk. Not only if something were to actually happen, God forbid, on a campus there, but when you interact with cops in the future, if you are taught that cops are going to kill you, if you are taught that a police officer is inherently bad, and you have a school that leans into that misguided feeling, so they reinforce it, anytime you have any interaction with a police officer is going to be bad. You're going to feel tense. And when you're tense around an officer, they get tense, because then they're wondering why you're so tense. All this does is lead to worse relationships in the future at a time when we can actually start the healing process.
I think that's really what it came down to for the board, was knowing that students feel unsafe with something that is in place to make them feel safe.
Oh, got it. But the board did vote to keep the school resource officers at Linwood High School. Why is that?
This high school is an unincorporated part of the county.
Oh,
and so sometimes the response times for just an emergency could be 30 minutes.
So in other words, in that case, despite the fact that maybe students feel uncomfortable, that feel like they are targeted by the mere presence of these officers, for safety in those cases, we're going to keep the cops there. Got it. So in other words, there's an unacceptable level of injured or, God forbid, again, killed children, because it would take something like 30 minutes for police officers to get there. That's an unacceptable risk. But if it only takes like 4 to 7 minutes for cops to show up at another school in Edmonds, you'll take it. Because feelings. This is outrageous. This is absolutely outrageous. And it's just not safe. It's not safe. And if you've got a kid in the Edmond School District, if you've got a kid in any of the districts that are considering things like this, and other districts are considering, if not already done them, I hope that this is sounding an inner alarm in you to step up and speak out and make those phone calls, get more involved when it comes to these meetings taking place. I know not a lot of us have time to go to a meeting, but you know what? This one, especially on children's safety, seems completely worth it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to explore the controversial decision to mandate masks here in Washington State. Will there actually be enforcement? We'll find out when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. I'm having an interesting conversation with someone on the text line at 1-800-465-8770. You essentially asked me, as they listened to some of the stories over the course of the last several days, when do the adults in the room take a stand? When is that going to actually happen? And I responded, that's a good question. I wish I had the answer to that. But I reminded this texter, who's from out of state, who moved here. I said, we've got an election coming up. Are you getting involved? And it's a question I have for every single person who's listening to me right now. This can't just be about complaining about the things that are taking place and putting some reasonable ideas out into the ether. It can't just be about activism on Twitter. It has to be about you actually stepping up and giving your time, giving your energy, giving some of your money to candidates and campaigns that you think are going to turn things around. So many of you did that with Referendum 90. Just getting more than enough signatures to get it on the ballot, this would get rid of our absurd and inappropriate sex ed bill, the curriculum that was passed by the Democrats in Olympia. Now, I'm hoping that every single person who signed that signature doesn't just declare themselves a supporter of Referendum 90 and will just vote, but will also do something more. Tell your neighbors. Someone just texted from the 206. How do I get involved? How do I get involved? What do I do? There are so many ways that you can get involved. You can literally, and this is the easiest thing that you can do, do some research on the candidates, for example, who are running against Jay Inslee. Pick one who you believe has the best shot at beating Jay Inslee and become an evangelist for that candidate. You've got five really good candidates right now. Phil Fortunato, a state senator. Lauren Culp, chief of police in Republic. Joshua Freed, former mayor of the city of Bothell. Tim Iman, the anti-tax advocate and activist. And Anton Sokurov, a conservative activist. In that group, I believe there's someone who can beat Jay Inslee. But it's not about who I think should win. They're duking it out. You're going to have to pick for yourself. But what I would do is right now, pick the one who you think has the best chance of winning and put as much energy as possible into making sure that they win this primary and then ultimately win the general. You get involved by donating money, if you have it, but also time. Going to their websites, learning about ways you can volunteer. And you can volunteer by making phone calls on behalf of the campaign to the numbers that they give you, but more importantly, to the people in your life that will listen to you passionately make the plea for that candidate. And of course, this is not just about running for governor, right? Who's running for governor? It's about the state representatives. And it's not even just about November. It's about all these elections. It's about the folks who run to be on a school board. Why aren't you running? Do you have time to run? Do you have time to donate your time to be on a school board? Or on a committee? Who's the council member that has your back in whatever city you live in? Do you even know? You got to know these folks. Because then you can make the phone calls And when we're allowed to do it again, you can go to your neighbor, knock on their door, and explain why this election is so important. And maybe speak from a place of deep knowledge about that candidate, because you're going to do everything you can to learn everything about them. It can't just be, if you think that whoever the Republican is, all Republicans are just going to go ahead and vote for that person to beat Jay Inslee. That's not how you win elections. It can't just be that an R is next to the candidate's name. It has to be that they stand for the principles and values and policies that an individual voter supports. And they may not know that about Tim Iman or Joshua Fried or Lauren Culp. And you might need to be the person to tell that voter, because they need to be motivated to vote. There are so many people, including those of you in this audience, too many of you in this audience, get that ballot and you don't actually vote. Sometimes you say, oh, it's what's the point? We're not going to win. If every single person who held that view actually voted, maybe we would win some more of these elections. You can go to WSRP.org. That's the Washington State Republican Party website, WSRP.org. They have a whole bunch of resources that you can go there and learn about ways you can step up. And I'm so proud of the people who listen right now. And they've donated their time. The 253 checks in, says, I'm the vice chair of the 28th district in Pierce County. Good for you. They're looking for folks to step up and help. All of this is just a Google search away. It is so easy to find out all of this information that you need to get more involved. Donate the time and money you can give. You may not have a lot of money, but you might have a lot of time. You may not have any time, but you have a lot of money. You may have a lot of both. So make sure you're stepping up and you're doing what you can for the candidates who have taken that ultimate step to decide to run against whomever their opponent is. They need your support. They need your help. You want to know when the adults are going to step up in the room? When you elect them. And then the policies and the discussions will reflect that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to dive into the statues being turned down.